today we're gonna just really kind of introduce the book is what we're gonna do, and then we're having different ladies teach each week, which is kind of fun. I'm going to enjoy that. I think Laura, you're next week, aren't you? We'll pray for Laura. So, and we're all friends here, so it's okay. So it's, we don't have to be too scared. But I'm going to start out by saying, how many of us wish we were more disciplined and organized in our lives? That's me. That's all of us. My hand is up there. My husband is very disciplined and very organized, and I am not naturally that way. So I have to work at it. But so this book is going to kind of help us learn how to be disciplined and organized. So hopefully as we study this book together, we'll learn how to maybe walk closer to God and be more disciplined in our Christian lives. That's what it's focusing on. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, you can turn there if you want to. I'm going to say this ahead of time. They want us to end by 7. So Kinsey, if you'll watch, I have my phone up here, but raise your hand when it's 7, and then we're going to end, okay? We don't want to go longer than the men, because then we're going to get teased forever. But I think they'll go longer than us. My husband, I said, oh, you're going to end by 7. So we'll see. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. This verse, and I was reading, as you read in this book, it talks about, she says in there, but have nothing to do with irreverent folklore and silly myths or grandmother's tales. You know, sometimes old wives' tales, you know, they say all these different old wives' tales that we hear about. But all of that is kind of really silly. Some of it may be true, some of it may not be true, but we can't count on all of that, can we? We can only count on what is in the Bible. So that's kind of what they're saying here. We need to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness, for keeping ourselves spiritually fit. Verse 8 says this, for bodily exercise profiteth little. So see, there's our excuse. We do not have to exercise. No, I actually just recently hurt my neck, and I did it from, I'm doing a couple different things, but I'm doing sit-ups and stuff, but I turned funny because I was watching Hallmark Channel while I was exercising, which is so silly. But I hurt my neck in doing that because I'm doing sit-ups and different things, and I'm turning, and I made myself stiff. So that's why I'm moving kind of funny today. So I should claim this first. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So how many of you exercise comes naturally? What? What? Two? Three? Maybe three people. Okay. So out of all of us in here, maybe three people, it comes naturally. It does not come naturally for me. I have to, and I want to exercise because it makes you healthier. It makes you stronger. And, you know, it's good for later on. My grandma always tells me, exercise now. Because if you don't do it now, you know, it's going to be much harder to do later. And if you do it now, it's going to help you later. So she always says, try to exercise. Do little by little. But it does not come naturally to me. So most of us, we have to work at it, don't we? I know I do, and I'm trying really hard to. I can go on a routine, and I'll do good exercising, and then you get sick. For me, I usually get sick, and then I'm off track, and I'm off track for the rest of the year. So it doesn't come easily. I'm trying to be more disciplined at that because I know when I exercise, I feel better, and I have more energy, except for right now, my neck hurts. Oh, I have to be careful with that. But usually I have more energy when I exercise physically. So kind of, when we exercise, we're stretching, aren't we? I know, like, I'm doing the elliptical. I could only do it for, like, a tiny bit in the very beginning. But now, as I do it each day or a few days a week, I'm getting, you know, a little stronger, longer. And that's kind of how we need to think of our spiritual lives. You know, maybe, you know, we read our Bibles just a little bit here or, you know, pray for a small amount of time, and that's okay. But as we exercise, we need to stretch ourselves. Like we do physically, we stretch ourselves physically when we exercise, but we need to do that spiritually also. We need to push ourselves to our limits so that we can strengthen ourselves and be stronger. You know, maybe we're all going to go through trials. We all go through trials. Maybe you are in a trial right now, or you've just come through a trial, or you will be facing a trial. And the stronger and the closer we are to God, that's going to help us through those trials, the more spiritually fit that we are. So that's Paul's talking and telling us to be spiritually, you know, instead of just concentrating on exercising outwardly, we need to exercise those spiritual muscles on the inside. So in this book, it's kind of going to train us to be godly. Just like we train ourselves to be physically fit, or we try, this is going to train us to be godly. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, I'm sorry, I'll move very carefully. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We all struggle, don't we? We get sick. So how many of you have had that flu or been sick? There are so many people, and it just kind of, it hits you and it lingers, doesn't it? Tell me if I need to do anything different. Hold it in the middle? Yeah. Hold this in the middle? Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm doing. Okay. All right. I'll be very careful. But we get weak on the outside, don't we? And we get sick and we struggle. But you know what? Our spirit, even if we're sick on physically, our spirit can be renewed day by day when we walk with the Lord, and when we renew that spiritual walk and we pray to Him and we read our Bibles, we can be inwardly renewed day by day. Even if we don't feel good, inwardly we can feel good. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So just like maybe when an athlete is training, you know, there's the Olympics right now. I haven't got to watch any yet, but just like they have training, and they have to set aside things that maybe distract them. You know, they probably have to eat certain things. They probably can't, you know, fill themselves with sugar and junk and, you know, all the good stuff. They can't eat that and still train properly and still, you know, be a good athlete, can they? They have to set things aside. So stop and think in your life maybe what you might need to set aside to be more spiritually fit. Just take a minute and think, is there something that hinders you? Or, you know, maybe it'll come to your mind easily. Maybe it's a TV show. Maybe it's, I don't know. The news can be depressing. You know, when we watch the news, and I know people that keep the news on all day long, but that can be so discouraging. I probably go to the other end, and I don't like to watch the news because I just figure, you know, I'll hear the highlights, you know, through everybody else, and I don't like to listen to the news a whole lot. But when we fill our minds with other things, sometimes we don't have time spiritually to renew ourselves and to draw close to the Lord. So stop and think, is there something that is causing you to not walk closely with the Lord? And, you know, obviously don't say that out loud, but just think about, what is it? It could be social media. Maybe it's shopping, TV. Maybe it's reading books that don't help you. You know, I mean, it's okay to read fun books sometimes, but sometimes, you know, maybe we do too much of that. So stop and think, is there something that is hindering you from walking closer with the Lord? And have that in your mind. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27 says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is talking here. He's not saying that it's going to be easy to walk with the Lord. It's not always the easiest thing. You know, it's not easy when you're exercising, is it? I mean, usually the benefits are good, but it's not easy when you're in that moment of, you know, whatever you're doing, whether you, you know, run or do the elliptical or sit-ups or whatever. That's not physically easy or always fun, but the benefits can help you. You can be a stronger person later. So Paul is telling us that spiritual discipline, it takes commitment and effort. Just like it takes commitment to exercise physically, it takes spiritual commitment on our part. Because it doesn't really come naturally to just pick up your Bible and start reading. Maybe some of you it does, but that is a discipline that's learned. You know, the Bible will help you through things, and it will help me through trials. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you're talking to somebody and they're asking questions and a verse pops in your mind and you think, wow, where did that come from? And that's spiritual growth, and that's the Lord is bringing things to remembrance for you to help you. And Paul is saying, if we discipline ourselves, it takes commitment, it takes effort, but it pays off. And really, eternal things are what counts. I mean, all the physical, all the exercising, and all the, you know, being super healthy, that's all good. But in the end, it's the spiritual effort that we put into our lives that really, really matters. So that's what this book is going to focus on teaching us that that our spiritual walk matters the most in our lives. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, specifically of those that believe." And so this is something that we will constantly be working on. It's not, you know, when you're exercising, you don't ever just, you know, okay, I can not exercise for the rest of my life and I am fine. It's not, I wish it was. Wouldn't that be so cool if we got to a certain point and then we could just stay physically fit and we don't have to exercise ever again? That would be so nice. But that's not reality. And spiritually, we're never going to get to a point that we've attained or that we've reached a certain goal and we're there and we've made it and we're fine. It's always a constant growth process. And so it's something we're always going to be working on. I'm always working on it. You'll always be working on it. And my husband, the men upstairs, everybody is always going to, and we all grow at different times, don't we? We can't expect us all to be exactly the same. That's why we're all different people, aren't we? And God, we've all been saved. If we went through the room and asked, you know, if you've been saved and, you know, when were you saved? Some of us were saved when we were little, and some of us were saved when we were teenagers or in our 20s, 30s, 40s. We've all been saved at different times, so we're all growing at different rates, and that's okay. It's kind of neat that God doesn't say you have to be here, you know, by a certain age, you have to be at this level. God doesn't say that because He loves us each. Just like if you have children, you love them each differently, and you don't expect the same of each one. God loves us no matter what. Do we have to be disciplined in our Christian lives? No, we don't have to be disciplined to be Christians. God, I mean, when we get saved and we're accepted into God's family, He doesn't say you have to be this way. It's good to be disciplined, but we don't have to be disciplined to be a Christian. God loves us either way. So let's stop and think. In the first chapter, it talks about reasons that we may choose not to be disciplined. And number one is laziness. And probably most of us have been there. It's kind of funny. The devil doesn't fight so many things in our lives, but anytime that you want to read your Bible or pray, have you ever gone to pray and then the phone rings or someone's at the door or one of your kids gets hurt and starts crying, or no matter what, something always happens. Or if I start to pray, maybe I'm praying and I'm, you know, I'm really praying about a situation, and then all of a sudden my mind is on my grocery list and my to-do list and all these things that just come to mind. And the devil brings everything to mind when you're trying to walk with God. And it's things that if I try to remember a grocery list, I'm not going to remember everything that I wanted to put on the list. But if I go to pray, then I'm going to, it always happens. I'm 10 minutes, you know, in prayer, and I'm not really praying. I'm just thinking of all these things that I have to do today and this week and this month and all these things that needs to get done. And it's so funny. And sometimes I'll stop and think, wow, how did I go from dear God to, you know, what I have to do at the end of next week on my to-do list, clean this closet or whatever. You guys ever have that happen? And the devil will fight your walk with God. He just always does, no matter what. He always will fight that. Sometimes it's not that we're lazy. Maybe we just haven't been taught to walk with God. Maybe you got saved and no one ever told you, you know, it's good to read your Bible and pray and that you could talk to God. And you could talk to Him just like we're talking right now. It doesn't have to be fancy words or, and just like Jean, what you said earlier, God knows our needs and our heart anyways. He knows all of our requests and our desires, but He wants us to tell Him. You know, sometimes you maybe know your child's request, or you have a friend and you know what they need, but isn't it nice sometimes when they come to you and say, I don't know, this is what I need, or this is what I'm struggling with. And God wants us to come to him, even though he knows everything already. He knows everything about us. But when we go to him, then we're relying on him, and we're you know, basically putting our trust just all in him by going to him and telling him what we need. So sometimes it's just that we haven't been taught to pray or walk with God. Another reason that that maybe we don't walk as closely with God, or that we don't have a disciplined life, the book talks about we're afraid in our culture of legalism. You know, sometimes we can think, okay, if we're disciplined and, you know, and we pray and we read our Bibles and we do these things, that it's legalism, you know, and the book talks a little bit about that, and walking with God is not legalism. There's a fine line between laziness, you know, so we think, okay, we're just going to love God and, you know, let things happen, and, you know, that's okay, but we also want to be disciplined in our walk with God. So there's a fine line between being lazy and then being legalistic. You know, I mean, there's some people and some churches that say, you know, you have to, you know, dress a certain way or act a certain way, be a certain way, think a certain way. Your whole family has to look a certain way, and you have to maybe go to, you know, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and anytime there's anything at church. And some churches say, you know, that is being godly. And some churches teach, you know, when you do all of that, then you are a godly person. But that's not always true, is it? I know there are times where I have maybe gone to church, you know, seven times a week, but maybe inside my heart I'm not godly. Maybe I don't have a good attitude about it, and that kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it? If I'm, you know, just showing up during winter revival and I'm just showing up to make everybody think that I'm a good Christian, then that's all the wrong reasons, isn't it? God wants us to walk with him and to love him and want to draw close to him. And so sometimes there are you know, that's all more legalistic, and we don't want to be like that. God doesn't want us to have a relationship with him because we want everybody to think we're a good Christian. That's not good, and that's not done for the right reasons, is it? God doesn't love us because we do things for him. This is a quote from the book. God doesn't love us because we do things for him or because we are disciplined. He loves us because of Jesus. It's not because of what we do, and it's not because of how many times we go to church or how we dress or how we look. That's not why he loves us. He loves us because of the cross and because Jesus died for us. So sometimes we can tend to think that spiritual discipline is living a strict life or maybe a list of do's or don'ts. And that's not walking close with God. That's maybe following, you know, something that you were taught by man, but it's not following God. So that kind of legalism can be frustrating, and it can even cause us, and we probably all know people like this, it can cause us to say, I can't do all that. I can't live like that. So walk away. I've known, you know, we were in a church working with teenagers for 22 years, and I saw, you know, so many teenagers do what they were supposed to do, you know, go to church, you know, seven times a week or whatever. I mean, go to church all the time and dress this way and do this and do that. And then sometimes we would watch them because they didn't have a true relationship with God. We watch them walk away. And we've probably all seen that. You know, even here we have seen that. And it's sad, you know, and we don't want to be that way. We don't want to require, you know, a list of do's and don'ts that really in the end it's unattainable, and we can't reach that. God wants us to grow at our own rate. We're all different people. So true discipline is very different from legalism. It's not legalism. The difference is in the motivation, isn't it? If we're motivated, you know, because I want you all to think, you know, I'm so godly because I do, you know, I'm at church all the time, or then that's a wrong heart and a wrong spirit, isn't it? We want to love God. So legalism, that says this in the book, legalism is self-centered. It's really a self-centered, you know, maybe it looks on the outside like we're doing all these things for God, but we're really not. It's self-centered. It's doing things to please man. But discipline is God-centered. Being disciplined is God-centered, and it's really and truly wanting to grow close to the Lord and ask him to help us in every step of the way, because he's the only one who can truly help us. You know, we can't do all these things on our own, can we? So a legalistic heart says, I will do this thing to make God happy with me, you know, there was many years growing up that I thought, if I do these things, then God is going to love me and be happy with me because I'm doing this whole list of do's and don'ts. But that's not the right way to live. A disciplined heart says, I will do this because I love God and because I want to please him. And I thought that was a good quote in the book. A disciplined heart says, I will do this because I love God and because I want to please him. I will try to exercise that spiritual, my spiritual muscles inside because I want to please God. So the true heart of discipline is relationship. I know my husband says that all the time, you know, walking with God is it needs to be a relationship, not just rules. Rules aren't fun, are they? I know in life we have to have certain rules, but we want to have a relationship with God. So the true heart of discipline is relationship, a relationship with God. And then as we close, think about this. Why should we put time and attention into training ourselves for godliness? Why should we do that? And in the book it says, it's number one, it's not a common or natural thing to be disciplined. It takes work. It's not easy. So many Christian women today do not have discipline in their lives, and it's something that we can grow into and that we need to grow into. Reading your Bible isn't easy. And the devil will, when you make time, I promise, the devil will always fight it, no matter what it is. He will throw something at you, you know, no matter what. Something will happen to try to stop you from praying or stop you from reading your Bible or stop you from talking to the Lord. Or, you know, maybe you like to walk and pray, and, you know, maybe you pray. I like to pray when I'm cleaning the house. I kind of like to clean. I'm kind of weird. But I like to pray when I'm doing that. And sometimes I talk out loud, which is kind of a little strange. My husband sometimes will come home and he'll say, who are you talking to? Oh, I'm just myself. Sometimes I do talk to myself. So it's not a common or natural thing to be disciplined, and we can all work on that and grow into that. And then number two, the book says, we need to realize that a Christian's life is about bringing our will under submission to God's will. We all have our own will, don't we? We all have maybe things that we want or that we think should happen this way or should work out this way, or, you know, God, I really want this. This is what I really want for my life, or this is how I think things should go. And they don't always go that way, do they? They do not always happen like we think they should happen or like maybe we would choose for them to happen. But like Jean said earlier, God has a different plan, and his ways are not our ways. They're his ways. And I would not have chosen for my husband to have cancer. I mean, when we got that diagnosis, I remember sitting in that doctor's office thinking, a little bit of a bad attitude in my heart. I really did. I thought, really? God, we are serving you. You know, my husband works like crazy, and he serves you, he loves you, and he walks with you. And really, you're going to give him cancer? And in my mind, in prayers to the Lord, I said, so now he's going to have chemo and all of this, and now he's not going to be able to go on all the teen activities, and he's not going to be able to come to church sometimes. He's not going to be able to serve you, Lord, you know, like he does, because he's going to be sick. And I had these conversations with the Lord. Really, and I did. I had a little bit of a bad attitude at times. You know, even though I trusted the Lord, I still was frustrated with, really? Why? This is going to be such an inconvenience to our family. and it's not going to be fun. And now we can't serve you. I'm not going to be able to serve you like we're serving you, because I'm going to have to take care of him, or I'm going to have to get him what he needs, or, you know, drive him to the doctor, and all these things. I'm telling the Lord, but he knew all that when he allowed him to have cancer. But if he didn't allow that, we would not be here right now, and I know that for a fact. We would not be at this church. We would still be in California and probably not doing what God wanted us to do. We would be serving, but if it was my will, that's what we would have stayed and just kind of continued how we were going, if God just allowed me to have my way. But he didn't. He took us through a trial that broke down my husband's will and my will, saying, okay, after this, it doesn't matter. If you take us anywhere, it doesn't matter, because he's okay. And we've gone through this trial, and we see that God's ways are better than our ways. And it really was God's plan. If he didn't allow us to go through that, we wouldn't be here today. And so God has a plan for whatever we go through, and it's not always fun, and it stretches us, and it hurts sometimes, just like exercising. Like my neck is hurting because of exercise, because I did it wrong, didn't I? I did it my way because I wanted to watch Home and Family or whatever while I was exercising. I did it the wrong way, and I hurt my own self. But when we do things God's way and we follow him, he has a plan, and he always has in mind what's best for us. We may not think it's good, and we may not think it's the best plan or the best way, but it really is, because God's ways are not our ways. So in talking these next several weeks, each lesson is based on submission, me submitting my will to God and accepting his will. And it's different than my will. My will is always, you know, I want things to go, you know, happily and smoothly and, you know, just this way. But it's not always perfect like we want it to be. So submission is something that we don't always like to talk about, do we? Because we always hear, you know, women have to submit to authority, and men have to submit to authority too. But sometimes there's a lot of confusion when we hear the word submission. But it's not about being inferior, and it's not about being less of a person. It's about realizing our relationship with God and how we view our relationship with him, and submitting our will to him, and submitting all of those things, all of my plans and dreams, submitting it to him and to his will. So it's about bringing our will under his will. So each lesson that we hear about, the underlying tone of that lesson is going to be about submission and submitting. So we're going to hear about in this book that it's kind of everything is framed on our submission to God and our submitting our will. So each lesson, keep that in mind. It's, I'm going to have to give my will up to God's will. And that's a better plan, isn't it? It's a much better plan when we trust him and when we trust his will. We don't always understand. We don't always know why we're going to go through things, or that we are going through things. But God will work it together for his good in our lives, and he will do that. So if you get the book, you know, you can read the whole thing, or you can go chapter by chapter if you want to. You don't have to get the book, because each week we're going to cover the lesson. But if you want to and you want to read about what we're going to be talking about, then and you think that might be helpful to you, sorry, I am not good with microphones, you can get that in the bookstore today.